Hello again. This time I'm live. Good to see you today. Welcome. Welcome to Stony Creek Church on this special day with the special presentation that we had. Right now, I invite you to get your outline out of your program so that you can follow along with this morning's message. And I'd like to begin with a thought experiment. Let's say you're raising money to find a cure for cancer because, tragically, you've lost some people to that deadly disease. And so defeating cancer really matters to you. Saving people from this deadly disease is a passion. It is close to your heart. And so one day you share your passion with me. But instead of appreciating your passion or encouraging you in your passion, I say to you, yeah, but defeating all deadly diseases matters. Now that would be callous on my part, wouldn't it? When someone shared this analogy with me recently, it helped me to understand a little bit better some of the racial tensions that we've been experiencing in recent times. Today is the third Sunday in January. It's known as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, a day celebrating the value of every human life, and also mourning the loss of 60 million plus children who have been legally put to death in our nation since the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision of 1973. Every year on the Sunday, third Sunday of the month, we and millions of others across this country, in churches and so forth, we celebrate the lives of children, declaring that every life matters, that their lives matter. And we mourn the loss of children put to death. But we also insist that as Christ followers, we must be part of the solution. And not just condemn abortion. We need to do more than just that. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. There is healing. There is restoration. There is wholeness. And there is strength to stand strong, to stand up, to do what is right. You know, Jesus calls us to follow Him, to follow Him to do justice and compassion, not just compassion, not just justice, but justice and compassion. All lives matter, but often it's appropriate to spotlight certain lives among us to raise awareness that their lives are in jeopardy and need to be rescued, to call us to action to that. Today, I want to briefly demonstrate our main idea, the one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else I say, and if you're taking notes, and I'm sure glad you guys are here in the front, and my wife is over there, that's great. Invite you all to join. Here's the main idea. Every child's life matters. Every single one. Whether black or white or Asian or male or female, born or unborn, every child's life matters. And today, we're looking at three reasons for the sanctity of every child's life. There are the three points you have there on your outline. The first one, every child is in God's image. Human life is unique on planet Earth. It's more valuable than the life of a fish or a deer or a squirrel or a spider or a mouse that invades your house. Why? Because human life, all human life is made to represent God. In Genesis 1, 27, we don't have a slide for this, so I need you to listen carefully, all right? Listen to what it says. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. This is what separates human beings, including human children, from all other creatures on earth. It's what makes a child's life objectively more valuable than a car or a building or a tree or a dog. The image of God is what makes us ultra valuable. When it says humans are created in God's image, it doesn't mean that we look like God. God is not a physical being. God is spirit. There is no giant human up in the sky that's God. No. Instead, as an analogy, think of a flag. A flag, say the flag of our country, or any country for that matter. It's made to represent a nation. Likewise, a human is made as a physical representation of the invisible God, the Creator. Now, if somebody takes a piece of cloth and spits on it and then tears it apart and throws it on the ground and stomps on it and then puts gasoline on it and lights it on fire, you say, well, that's kind of weird. Why would you do that to that innocent piece of cloth, all right? But it's a big deal. It's his cloth. He can do as he pleases. But if that piece of cloth is the flag of your country, you see it differently, don't you? As an act of defiant disrespect. It's not just a piece of cloth, it's your country that's represented there. In a much greater way, each human is a representation of God. Now, that representation has been damaged because of sin, but it's still that way. Scripture teaches this. And to mistreat or destroy a human is to show contempt. It's to show hatred for God. This is why human life is so precious. It has inherent value, even if the person is a rascal or a contemptible, despicable scoundrel. That person is still made in God's image. The second reason for the sanctity of every child's life, number two on your outline, a child's life begins at conception. You know, many folks don't realize that this is a well-established fact in medical science. It's not just a pro-life talking point. No. Let me introduce you to Dr. Stephen Jacobs. He's a researcher in this field, and he surveyed 5,577 biologists, asking for their professional scientific opinion on when life begins. The results, 96% of these 5,577 biologists said human life begins at conception, that is fertilization. Now you say, well, Randy, maybe these were Republican pro-life Christian biologists and therefore biased, but not so. The majority of the sample identified as liberal, 89%, pro-choice, 85%, and non-religious, 63%. And it was a worldwide survey of all these different institutions and biology departments. But in the case of Americans in the survey who expressed party preference, the majority identified as Democrats, 92% of them. Also, these were not simply high school biology teachers, nothing against them at all, but these were experts in the field, both male and female. Jacob's survey included professors in the biology departments of over 1,000 institutions around the world. Fascinatingly, some of those surveyed were very worried that the results of the survey were going to be used by pro-lifers, maybe in a sermon or something, you know? Here are some of their actual comments of these biology professors. Quote, "Is this a study funded by Trump and the Ku Klux Klan?" Or, quote, "Sure hope you aren't an effing Christian." Or this quote, "This is some stupid right to life thing. Yuck, I believe in the right to choice." With 7 exclamation marks. This person really believes in the right to choice. But Dr. Jacobs was not a pro-life activist. He was a researcher trying to find out what biologists thought about this. And the questions on his survey were open-ended questions. They were not leading questions. Nevertheless, even though Jacob earned his PhD on this topic, researching this topic, at the University of Chicago, no less, one of the top research universities in America, his research cost him his job and has gotten him canceled from academia. Not because the research was flawed, no, it was spot on, it was sound, but because it was politically incorrect. Fact: a child's life begins at conception, even as pro-choice scientists admit. But the Bible has taught this for thousands of years, folks. Back in 1973, the Supreme Court said, when they were deciding Roe versus Wade, well, we don't really know. Science hasn't really shown us when life actually begins. That was way back then, in 1973. Well, since then, science has caught up with the Bible. The Bible has affirmed this for many, many centuries. And King David is one example who speaks of his prenatal life in the womb. He says in Psalm 139, beginning at verse 13, and please help me when we come to the yellow print, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me." Notice the pronoun, me, not just my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Also, God told the mother of John the Baptist of her son, quote, "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Now, here's John the Baptist. He's in his mom's tummy, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? You need to be a living human person for that to be the case. Abby Johnson's passion was to help women. She was a young woman, and she wanted to help women. She was one of the youngest Planned Parenthood clinic directors in the nation. She was involved in nearly 22,000 abortions. She counseled countless women about their reproductive choices, and she urged many of them to get abortions. She was so passionate about a woman's right to choose that she became a spokesman for Planned Parenthood, fighting to enact legislation for the cause she so deeply believed in. She had 2 abortions herself, so she certainly understood what this was involving. But then one day, she saw something that she had never seen in her whole career at Planned Parenthood. She actually watched a live ultrasound of a child being ripped apart during an abortion in its mother's womb. And she was so repulsed that she ended up quitting her job. Today, she's a pro-life activist. The movie Unplanned tells her story. It came out a few years ago, and I believe it's the most important film produced in the last 10 years. I hope you've seen it. If you've not, you should see it. It's a must-see. You can see it on Prime if you have that, or you can order it off of Amazon. I offer it to pro-choice friends free of charge. I say, look, I will have it sent to your doorstep. All you have to do is tell me that you'll watch it. You can throw it in the garbage when you're done if you don't like it, but at least watch it. By the way, engage your pro-choice friends on this topic. Don't be afraid to do that if they're willing to discuss it. I have some staunch pro-choice friends, and I engage them regularly in respectful debate because they like talking about it, and it gets kind of vigorous. But I do it for them because I'm trying to change their mind. I'm very upfront about that. But I don't just do it for them. I also do it for those who are listening. Because even if my friend, pro-choice friend, might not change his mind or her mind, maybe somebody who's reading it on Facebook will. And so do this. I would encourage you to do it. But of course, be respectful, even if they get disrespectful. Even if they get angry at you, do it with respect and love and make sure you've got your facts in order when you do this. Otherwise, they'll catch you on it. I've had some really neat results from doing this sort of thing. And I would encourage you to do it, but always be respectful. Be respectful in your comments. Show the love of Jesus as you tell them the truth. You know, like the abolition of slavery, the abolition of killing children is not going to happen overnight. It took a long, hard struggle, not just in this country, but in other countries to abolish slavery. Now it's practically, well, it is worldwide, even though slavery still goes on. But it's a given that slavery is wrong, even in our culture today. But that was not the case. William Wilberforce in Great Britain spent decades working on this great fight. And this is before it was abolished here in the United States. And he and other courageous people stood up, and my goodness, what they took for that fight. But they ended up getting the slave trade and then slavery itself abolished, and that spread to all over the world, including to the United States. And of course, we had a civil war over it. But we need to win the hearts and minds of people one at a time, just like they did with the abolition of slavery. A child's life begins at conception. Let's look at a third and final reason for the sanctity of every child's life on your outline there, and that is taking a child's life is evil. It's wrong. Of course, the mother may not know what she's actually doing, but it is a wrong thing to do. Once you come to grips with the fact that a child's life begins at conception, guess what? You are faced with the jaw-dropping realization, one so tragic and so horrific that you might choose to deny it. But it's this fact. The leading cause of death in the world is not heart disease. It's not cancer. It's not COVID or stroke or drug overdoses or violent crime or auto accidents. Nope. The leading cause of death in the world is abortion. Children whose lives were ended in the womb, or now it's even legal, after having come out of the womb. If the abortion wasn't successful, the child can be killed even after it has been born, in some places, even in this country. Are you concerned about world hunger? Well, you should be. Do you know that over 18,000 people on average die of starvation per day worldwide? Are you concerned to find a cure for cancer? You should be. About 22,000 people die of cancer every day worldwide. This is all cancers, not just lung cancer or breast cancer, but all cancers worldwide. But folks, according to the World Health Organization, every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. And this corresponds approximately to 125,000 abortions per day. Per day. That's from worldometers.info. What's God's position on abortion? Well, he makes it very clear. In the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Exodus 20:13. Now, at this point, my pro-choice friends will often say, yeah, but there are other issues. There are other issues, yes, other very important issues. But if it's the number one cause of death in the world, and we'll see it's by many, many, many times greater than the second cause of death, cause of death, then certainly this should be a front burner, top shelf issue. My friends will also say, but what about the mother? What about her life? What about bringing a child into the world that she would be extremely hard pressed to care for? Don't you care about her? Yes. Yes. 1,000 times, yes. And Christians lead the way in this all over the world in thousands of pro-life pregnancy centers and churches that reach out to help parents with unwanted pregnancies, such as providing living accommodations with all the resources needed to assist with parenting or adoption, which is a wonderful option. Here at Stony Creek Church, we financially support the Crossroads Center in Auburn Hills, where this kind of work is done. I've served there on the board of directors some years back, and some people here at Stony volunteer at facilities like this, and we sponsor different drives to raise money and collect items for places like this. And some of us have taken a mother into our homes, a mother with an unplanned pregnancy, to help out. Jesus calls us to this kind of work. Maybe he's calling you to this sort of work. Reach out. Volunteer. Speak up with your pro-choice friends, but only with respect and Jesus' love. Support only pro-life candidates. Don't send somebody to Lansing or Washington who's going to continue supporting this wicked practice. You'll have blood on your hands. Don't do that. Don't do that. Insist that the United States of America defund Planned Parenthood. Amen. Remember, every child's life matters. Jesus died for every person on the planet. That means he paid the penalty for all of our sins. He arose from the dead. He did this because he loves you. He wants to forgive you. He did this to save you. If you're not saved, you can be saved today. Turn to Jesus in repentance and in faith. Trust in him as your Lord. Tell him you believe he died for you. You believe he rose from the dead. Surrender your life to him. Your life matters to him. We're going to close our service now. So I just ask that you would, before we close, stand up and pray with me. If you brought your offering with you today, we have the offering box in the back where you can put it there when we're dismissed. And many of us have already given online. And so whether you gave online or you're going to put your check in the box, we're going to dedicate our offering now to the Lord. If you're listening to my voice today and you're feeling guilty, maybe you participated in an abortion in the past or had one yourself, Jesus reaches out with his nail-scarred hand to you, forgiveness. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. He wants to bring you through this difficult time and remove that sense of guilt, because he paid for that sin. He paid for all the sins of the world. If you're here today and you would like to pray with somebody or counsel with somebody, we have our members of our pastoral prayer team that will be down here as the service concludes. You can come up and speak with one of them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the preciousness of life, every life created in the image of God. We thank you that you did that you gave us that status, that value. Oh Lord, may we live in understanding of that and courageously, lovingly work to protect, to save the life of every endangered person. And Lord, to do more than that, to bring people to new life in Jesus, to the eternal life by trusting in him. Lord, we dedicate our gifts to you, our tithes and our offerings. May you use them to the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Stick around and have some pastries. Enjoy yourself. Say hello to somebody. We'll see you next week. We're starting a new series.